Right down.
We'll call the meeting to order. We do have a quorum. Members, what we're going to do, well, first of all, what we'll do here quick, just item of business, we'll take care of approving the minutes. You'll have a motion.
So moved, Mr.
Representative
Chair.
Eakin moves the minutes dated March 22nd. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Eakin, yesterday, in the spirit of doing things right, we did have a motion to suspend the rules for amendments and whatnot. I think we did have a couple amendments come in late. I think, again, just in the spirit of doing things right, would you like to make that motion again?
Sure. Yes. So moved, Mr. Chair.
Representative Eakin makes a motion to temporarily suspend the rules. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Members, what we're going to do is our friends would like to take a 10-minute recess just to get together and visit about this bill. So we are going to do that. Let's see, it is 20 after, so come back at the bottom of the hour. Is that okay? So, and we'll reconvene then. All right, we are in recess. Thank you.
The Ag and Natural Resources, the Rural Development Committee is back in session this morning after our recess. We are working on House File 1039, and with the author, Representative Hamilton. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I believe the proper motion would be I'll move House File 1039 as amended, be recommended to pass, and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Mr. Chairman, we do have a number of amendments. I think, Mr. Chair, if we could roll through them. I talked with Representative Poppy, and if she would like to move her amendment and speak to it at this time, Mr. Chair, I think that would be in order.
And members, that is the A3 amendment. And to the amendment, Representative Hoppe.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to move the A3 amendment. And just, it is, to me, it's just a clarifying the language in the bill. I very much appreciate the work that Ted Matthews does and the mental health counseling he does throughout the state with the farm business programs and with the farmers throughout the state. One of the things, as I read the initial bill, it just read a little bit awkwardly to me, and it read like it was only limited to two colleges within the state, and I just wanted to clear that up and make sure that it's understood that it is a statewide mental health counseling assistance to the farmers and the farm business management programs. So that's merely in my intent. It's certainly not to take away anything from the services he provides, and it also is not designed to make him live in a different area of the state or anything. I don't want to change that at all. I just want to be able to say that it is a statewide mental health counseling program for the farmers and the farm business management programs. So I'd appreciate your support.
Puts a lot of miles on his car, we heard.
Yes,
Representative
Poppy.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, you may want to ask if there's anybody that would like to speak for or against this amendment.
Members, any questions or comments on the A3 amendment from Representative Poppy? Representative Vogel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Although I understand what Representative Poppy is looking at here, I feel that this amendment might just open the door up to moving that to a different campus. And as you stated, you know, Ted Matthews does a good job, and I appreciate it is based, you know, partly out of Ridgewater and their ag program there, and the program they do with the farmers. And so I would prefer that we just keep it there, and I think he's done a good job. Although I appreciate, you know, part of this, I just don't want to go along with that line, the last line at least. So I speak against the amendment. Thank you.
Any other questions from members on the amendment? We have a testifier. Could you identify yourself, please?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jerry Schoenfeld. I work for the Minnesota Association of Ag Educators and have worked with this program for 2 years. I guess I'd have the same general concern. I think the idea of the statewide in the first line of the amendment is very appropriate. It is a program that he does statewide kind of things, and that clarifies that. I think this is kind of unique in the fact that it is a one-man band as such, and it is the one individual who has had the experience, who has been working within the system, and I would be concerned as well, I guess, about the potential to require it to be moved or something. I don't have any problem with the intent. I just am a little concerned about what the practicality of it might end up be in the second part.
Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have absolutely no desire to move Ted Matthews from where he is. I'm just wondering if I could amend my amendment and just delete lines 1.4 to 1.6. At least have the statewide in there. I just want to make it clear, because as it reads now, it seems like it's limited to two colleges, and I also don't want it to go to the fact that it becomes very literal and that he can't then come to my college in southern Minnesota. So I'm willing to take that out and just make sure that at least we've got statewide in there.
Is that an amendment to your amendment?
Yes, it is. Can I do that?
So, Mr. Chairman, I believe the proper motion would be Representative Poppy moves to amend her amendment by striking lines 1.4 through 1.6. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. Correct. And, Mr. Chairman, I would speak in favor of that and also in favor of the amendment.
Okay, so your amendment would read then on page 8, line 22, to insert the word statewide before mental. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Do members have that change? Page 8, line 22, insert the word statewide before mental. Any further questions or comments on the... Okay. All in favor of the oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same size. The oral amendment passes. Now, back to the...
Amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just before we vote on the amendment, just to be very clear, I think Mr. Schoenfeld and Representative Poppy are saying the same thing. I know that these services, for example, come to South Central College. There was a farm business management program. So I just want to be really clear, along with Representative Poppy, that we're not limiting these services to these two campuses. With that in mind, I just want the record to be clear. So thank you, Mr. Chair. I plan to support the amendment.
Any further questions on the A3 amendment?
As amended.
Mr. Chair. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Against, same size, same sign. The amendment, A3 amendment, as amended, passes.
Mr. Chairman, I believe if Representative Eakin would like to speak to the A6 amendment, I think that would be the next one we can bring up.
Representative Eakin.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And this amendment... really addresses the AURI cuts, which are about 15%, and I know that the ag area was taking a 15% cut overall if you count the ethanol money, which I think if you were not counting the ethanol, that it would actually result more in about a 7% cut or so. So I was kind of looking at that and also looking at the fact that the Board of Animal Health and the department were taking cuts of about 5%. So I was thinking, to be proportional and to be fair, the cuts should be more along the lines of 5% rather than 15. And what this amendment does is it would bring the cuts down to 5% for AURI. Now, I'm not actually going to move this amendment because I'm going to withdraw the amendment, but I wanted to make the point that I think AURI is taking a disproportionate cut. And so I wanted to make that point. I know there's another amendment that's going to be forthcoming that's going to partially restore some of those cuts. So I would ask for support on that amendment. But this one here, I will withdraw at this time. So thank you for the opportunity to speak to it.
So the A6 amendment offered by Representative Eakin is withdrawn. Next, we have the A5 amendment. And to speak to that, Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, members, I'll move the A5 amendment. I apologize for not getting my signature on it. It was a work in progress.
And a two-year amendment, Representative
Morrow. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, what the A5 amendment would do is in the second year, We don't want to test the first year of the AGRA funds, but in the second year, it would use part of those funds for the Center for Rural Policy and Development. I know that former member Brad Finstad is here with us, who is now leading that that center. I think they're doing some great work. Their funding is, again, in jeopardy. Their funding is located in another committee. And so I bring this proposal to at least help shore up the Center for Rural Policy and Development, which I think is helping all our communities throughout Minnesota. Mr. Chair, members, what this would also do would be to increase funding for AURI as well. Again, we'll have more conversations, I'm sure, about the bill and what's happening to AURI, but this is an attempt to at least help out both of those institutions. I hope for members' support.
Questions on the A5 amendment? Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak in favor of this amendment as well. And the question that I would have, Representative Morrow, for the are both of these on the second year of the biennium, is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair and Representative Hamilton, I apologize. I did not make that clear. It doesn't touch the first year. It's on the second year.
So, Mr. Chairman, once again, I'd speak in favor of this amendment.
And Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would also speak in favor of this amendment. And I'd already mentioned, as far as AURI is concerned, the amount of cuts that they are taking. This would reduce it to about 11% in the second year, which does help. I think this is an outstanding organization, and as far as the cuts are concerned, how it affects AURI, it's more than just a dollar-for-dollar cut. Because the AURI does leverage those dollars and does actually take in another dollar for every dollar that we give. So the cuts do result in really it's twice as big a cut as what you see in this bill because they'll lose those leveraged dollars. So, again, I would encourage members' support to put a little more back for AURI. Again, they'll use those dollars in a way that's going to leverage a lot of private funding for the purposes of rural economic development. So thank you.
I would ask Representative Morrow, second year of the funding, where is the money going to come from or what's going to be cut to make up for this additional funding?
Sure, Mr. Chair and members, where the funding comes from is from the AGRA fund.
Any other questions on the A5 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, could I, when the money's moving around there in cutting the AGRA fund, I would suggest that maybe you allow staff to add some language into the AGRA fund appropriation that will money's moving around a little bit, but there is probably dollars available for the tails that we could add into there, that the base for the 13 and 14 includes that money that was moved out. Without it won't take it away from the other ones, but I believe there's room within the funds from that movement to be able to do that. If that would, I think that was, we had talked about that, Mr. Chair, at one point, and I think this move probably would be the committee's intention and would want that. If you give us direction, we'll draft that.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hamilton.
I will give Mr. Ryan Holtz and Mr. Sullivan and any other staff members that direction, if they would, please.
Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Representative Hamilton, and I'm comfortable if we pass the A5 and if you commit to working on the language that Mr. Reinhold said that describes and bring it in ways and means. I think by voting on the A5, we would also be indicating, I hope, this committee's belief that that additional change should be made.
I would agree to do that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other question on the A5 amendment? Representative Szymanski.
Mr. Chairman, question for Representative Morrow. The reference on line 1.7 to in St. Peter, is that necessary, or should we say St. Peter, Minnesota, for clarification? I just don't want to be nitpicky, but.
Representative Morrow?
Mr. Chair and Representative Szymanski, I'm comfortable. I feel there's no other St. Peter in the world that matters. and so I would suggest just leaving it as, but if you feel strongly, I'm certainly opening to put in the word Minnesota after St. Peter. I would note I don't think we do that in other city designations in statute.
Representative Szymanski?
Mr. Chairman, I'll leave it to the committee's discretion.
Okay. St. Peter is famous. We'll leave it as St. Peter, I think. If no other questions, all in favor of the A5 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The amendment passes.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Hamilton.
Since we are on AURI, I have an oral amendment to make.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Chairman and members, on page 9, I'd like to strike lines 9.18 through 9.20. Mr. Chairman, and we do have a testifier that would be willing to come up and speak to that if we call upon them at this time.
Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Bruce Stockman, and I work for AURI as project development. The issue relative to the chairman's amendment is that language is too restrictive. It was language that was picked up, from what I can tell, from additional dollars that were funded to AURI a few years back over and above our base. We do a lot of things relative to meat, foods, and other issues besides bioenergy. And the statute 116V covers the mission and the purpose of what this legislature has directed for AURI to do.
Questions from members? If not, thanks, Mr. Stockman.
Thank you.
Would you again review, Mr. Representative Hamilton, your oral amendment?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I move to strike lines 9.18 through 9.20.
Any questions? If not, all in favor of the oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay, same sign. Motion is carried.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we have one more amendment. Two more amendments. Mr. Chairman, we have two more amendments. First, I'd like to move the A2 amendment. And what this amendment ends up doing is, after the testimony yesterday and some of the concerns that were brought up as far as accountability piece through the dairy development, their accomplishments, what we're asking for here is a report of the accomplishments report and letting us know more about the expenditures and anticipated accomplishments. It's just a little bit of additional reporting there. I did speak with some of the dairy folks here a couple days ago about this. I don't know if they want to speak for or against this, if they're here. At that point in time, they were okay with this. And if there's anybody from the department that would like to speak for or against this as well, that would be the first part of the amendment, the A2 amendment. The second part is when we were talking about the floriculture piece, and we were making the recommendations on reductions. Through that, when I spoke to, it wasn't quite a 10% reduction. Well, there was $1,000 that was left on the bottom line that was wanting to, or directed to go towards the horticulture piece, and so it would increase that from $15,000 to $16,000 to address that. That is on line 1.9 of the amendment, and then line 1.11 through 1.13 of the amendment. This gives the commissioner, the Department of Ag, a little more flexibility. We do have a few more cuts to the department than what the governor had, and we want to give them a little more flexibility, if you will, to be able to identify how they're going to implement those reductions without cutting programs, but within the Department of Ag and not just one specific area. So it would just open up a little bit as far as where they can search for those cuts within the department.
Any testifiers or questions from members? We are on the A2 amendment. If there are no further questions, all in favor of the A2 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment is passed.
And, Mr. Chairman, the last amendment that I have is from the floor debate yesterday. I don't want to, on the House floor, I don't want to cause any angst as far as the direction that this bill is going or needing to go or anything like that. And I believe we are covered. My oral amendment will be to strike lines 10.20 through 10.23. And Mr. Chairman, to that amendment, and Mr. Chairman, to that amendment, that was the $400 re-inspection penalty that we had in here. And I know the floor debate yesterday, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, you know, that whole thing. But I believe if you read the line right below that on 10.24, the commissioner may enter an order for recovery of the inspection investment, or excuse me, investigation costs. I believe we're covered already. So I'm going to move to strike that re-inspection penalty. And again, it is my belief that the commissioner can do this currently. I ask for members' support here. I believe that this re-inspection penalty is in the Senate's bill. There's a good chance that this is going to go to conference, but again, I don't want to cloud the direction that this bill is going to be going. So I'd make that oral amendment at this time.
Question from Representative Swazinski.
Chair Anderson, Representative Hamilton, my question would be kind of maybe more in general, and maybe not necessary for you, but when we're talking about some of these fees and also fines that may be assessed within the Department of Agriculture, generally, are they, do they return, so any fines, do they go to the Department of Ag or do they go to the general fund? Obviously, this may be not quite fitting with this oral amendment, but maybe it does fit or not. I'm not sure.
All right, Mr. Chairman, Representative, we do have a testifier to come up here to answer that question.
Good morning, sir.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Greg Bozicki. I'm the Division Director of Pesticide and Fertilizer Management. Mr. Chair and Representative, to that question, the penalties do go back to the, in this case, the fertilizer inspection account. So they do not go to the general fund. They go to the dedicated account.
Okay. Follow up, Representative.
No, I think you're good.
I would just ask a question. Does this leave the amount of the fine open-ended, or is it going to be reasonable, or how is that determined, Mr. Bozicki?
Mr. Chair, penalties, this actually addresses a reinspection fee or recovery of the cost of inspections. There's two provisions here. The B provision, which is the subject of the amendment, would be without the commissioner doing a an order or taking any steps, it would be basically an automatic. If we had to go back and do a reinspection, there would be a $400 charge, and when we put this in, we estimated that would be about the cost of what such a reinspection visit would. So it would be automatic, basically. Section C, which is existing dollars, allows the commissioner to issue an order to recover any of the costs of the inspection and the investigation. We only use that in contentious cases where we believe that it is appropriate that we spend so much in a particular investigation that we would like our costs recovered, and it's seldom that used. Representative Hamilton is correct. We could use this when we offered this language. We were hoping to just have a uniform disincentive for these types of reinspections that would be automatic. So it would send a message that it would be a incentive to be in compliance, that there's an additional cost if we have to come back and do a visit.
Thank you. Question from Representative Anderson Bruce.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Mr. Bozicki, it sounds like you rarely use this, but are there fees now, or is there a set amount that has been charged in past practices for reinspection or reinvestigation of sorts?
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, no, I can think of only one case where we did use this provision, and that was several years ago. So ordinarily we do not call charge for reinspections or recovery of costs. We do have penalties for violations, but we don't charge for reinspection costs. Considering the discussion here and this language overall, we could use this money to develop such a recovery procedure. We just, up to this point, haven't done it and chose to actually be very visible in what we were doing by having a $400 automatic for anhydrous ammonia.
Thank you.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I need to withdraw my motion to make the appropriate motion here. The appropriate motion would be to delete Section 8 instead of those specific lines. Page 10, delete Section 8, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding, since it's already in law and it's there, we're not going to have duplicative paragraphs. So it's a proper motion that's been delivered to me by staff. So,
okay. So you're wishing to amend your oral amendment.
Mr. Chair, I withdrew my first oral amendment, and my motion was to, my new oral amendment is to delete Section 8, located on page 10 of the bill.
I have a couple more questions. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess, you know, my concern is I hope we're not removing the stick here that would bring these folks into compliance. That was the purpose of the $400 reinspection fee. And I understand what you're saying, although it appears that this provision that's currently in law can only be used after the fact, and it's only to recover costs specific to that specific case, so it can't be an overall, you know, reinspection fee that's established through this provision. It's only recovery of costs after the fact, and those costs are going to vary depending on the situation. I don't know if you could address that concern, whether this would be enough of a stick, so to speak, to bring those folks into compliance. Yeah.
Representative Hamilton.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and I think this penalty, having a penalty in place is right. I think the department's right about this. I think that the way the language reads currently, Mr. Bezicki said that they could enforce that. I think that it should be in place to bring in those individuals that are in violation, if you will, back into compliance. So I think the stick is still there the way the language reads.
Representative Morrow.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hamilton, I understand what you're saying, but I just have a couple questions. One, I want to be really clear. Is this a penalty or a fee? And I'm not playing wordsmanship. I thought maybe this was to recover the cost, but Mr. Bezicki could speak to maybe that difference between a penalty and a fee.
Mr. Bezicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Morrow. Currently, we do have fees that are paid to support the program, and we also have, upon inspection, if there's violations, we do take penalty action. We actually have authority to do criminal action as well. And so we have that's not here. That's our existing authority. We're fine with that. The reason for bringing this whole initiative forward was to address the anhydrous ammonia issue that we believe is very serious. I've testified before about that. And what we were trying to do is basically set up some new policy parameters on how we were going to be doing inspections. And one of the ideas that came forward is, let's make it very clear that there should be a reinspection fee if we have to go back and do more visits. And so it was along the lines of being very clear with the legislature what our intent was, not just to use some existing authority and create a department policy, but rather be very clear that this is one of the tools that we would like to have as an automatic. It would serve as a disincentive. We do have the ability to charge recovery inspection costs. Even if you remove this whole section, it doesn't change the existing language, of course. So that would be something that we would just go back and we would discuss with the commissioner and you know, take the advice of this discussion and say maybe we should be doing that just on our own. But at least we have made the point that a reinspection fee might be something that should be considered either by us policy-wise or by the legislature. But removal of this section does not diminish our authority. We believe we've got the enforcement tools to recover costs if we want to.
Representative Falk.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just going to ask if Mr. Reinholtz could explain if with this proposed fee, if that were put into any of the base budgets going forward for this account, if there were to be any expected revenues, and just if that would change the numbers at all. Maybe that's not the case, but just wanted to get
my a full understanding of the accounting.
Mr. Reinholz.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Falk, no, changing that won't change any of the budget because it's back to the situation, basically the base, that revenue wasn't there and the expenditure's not there. They would have had additional, with that language, they would have had additional revenue and they would have been able to incur additional expenses.
Representative Falk.
Thank you for that, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Reinholz, for that clarification. And I do appreciate Representative Hamilton to helping to make this bill a little bit easier to get through the process. And I think this is a good piece of language we should continue to discuss, maybe it's a separate bill, because in my opinion, I think that the open-ended stick essentially is almost more of an incentive to make sure that you don't have to be reinspected, because really there is no cap on what that reinspection fee could be. And so I think that you could look at it from both ways, that the $400 is a cap versus an unlimited amount that you could potentially be on the hook for.
Representative Hansen. Any further questions on the oral amendment? So the oral amendment now is to remove Section 8 from page 10, on page 10 from the bill.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I renew my motion to the oral amendment to delete Section 8 located on page 10. Ask for your support.
All in favor of the oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
The amendment passes. To your bill, Representative.
Mr. Chairman, I guess there's no other amendments at this time. And I just want to reiterate what was said in my opening comments yesterday. We took input from the governor's office, from the Ag Department. Representative Eakin, you and your colleagues, I appreciate your input as well. No question about it. Other interesting parties. We've had to make some difficult cuts, difficult decisions, reductions here. I think that we did our best to be straight up, open, and honest. We talked to the individuals that are going to be impacted by this. I just want to say thank you, and I ask everybody for ask for your support. And if there's anybody that'd like to come up and testify for or against this, it'd be wonderful, because, again, I want to be as open as we possibly can, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, this is an open meeting, public meeting. Any testifiers from the public are welcome to come down and ask questions. And as they do, a question from Representative Morrow.
Actually, Mr. Chair, I didn't mean to step on Representative Hamilton's final comments, and since we're going to have someone from the public, I think I'll wait till after that.
Welcome to our committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members. My name is Joel Carlson. I own a legal research and government affairs business here in St. Paul, and I'm happy to be in front of the Agriculture Committee again. I was going to say that on page 7, that seems like a paltry sum for the Poultry Association for a $1,000 grant, but that's I really wanted to comment on Section 16 of the bill. Could you handle that?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative and Hamilton.
Those poultry guys are extremely grateful for any dollars that they receive.
I've done some work with people in the poultry industry, and they are vital to our economy. And when I saw that, when I read the bill, I thought, $1,000. It could be more for them. Mr. Chairman and members, I want to reiterate our concerns about Section 15 of the bill, which, as you know, there's never been a case successfully brought in Minnesota or elsewhere regarding weight gain, and our concern is that the bill is overly broad, it lacks definitions, it sets a very dangerous precedent, and I would suggest has unintended consequences. You know, last time I was here, Representative Erdahl sent me to my research den, and because he told me about a case in Brazil that gave him cause to bring this bill back before you again, and so I found the case in Brazil, and I learned a little bit about Brazilian law, and in that case, it was actually an employee of McDonald's that brought the case, And it was tried to a judge. They don't have jury trials in Brazil. They don't have workers' compensation either. But such a case would never be brought in Minnesota. Someone injured in the workplace like that has a exclusive remedy in workers' compensation. And so such a case, as Representative Erdahl suggested, from Brazil would never happen. I just gave you an article from the American Bar Association Labor and Employment section. And so I did do my research and did find out what that case was all about. But on the bill itself, I just would like you to know that any consumer who consumes food or a product twice, the only exception is a single instance of consumption, any consumer who consumes food more than twice, we are now granting immunity to the manufacturer for what we consume that has an adverse health condition. And I think that that is a dangerous precedent, and I'll just give you a very recent example. We all read in the paper about 11 people in Blaine who ingested a legal product. One person dead, 10 people in the hospital. They did it more than once. There was nothing misbranded. There was nothing mislabeled. And I would submit to you that the manufacturer of that product, if and when a claim was brought against them, would use this law to say they are immune from liability. And I submit to you that that is a dangerous precedent. And when you look at the effective date of this bill, you will know that it is for cases that are brought after the effective date. So the action could be behind us, which happened a week ago, and this law would have effect on that case. I would ask that you maybe delete this from the bill. We do not think that a case over weight gain is legally viable or defensible. There's never been one. And if I would suggest that more work be done on this bill if there is a problem to be addressed. But this has a dangerous precedent, and we have very serious concerns about it. This just isn't about, this language of this bill is not about eating too many cheeseburgers and someone filing a lawsuit. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be happy to answer questions. I appreciate the attention this committee has given to this important issue.
Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, we've taken testimony on this. Representative Erdahl, of course, has been carrying this for a number of years. We do have multiple stops as well, heading to the Ways and Means. We'll be heading to the floor. We will be going into conference committee. So we do have a number of stops here as well to address more of these concerns. Like I said, we have taken testimony on this, and I'd speak in support of leaving this portion of the bill within the omnibus bill.
Are there questions of Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hamilton, trying to refresh my memory here, had the had this provision gone to civil law before it came here?
Representative Hamilton.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would, as far as this year, I'd have to go back and talk to the author as far as the travel of the bill. So,
Mr. Chair, does staff know?
Mr. Carlson.
Mr. Chairman and members, the bill was heard in the Civil Law Committee about 3 weeks ago with the understanding that it would be going to the Judiciary Committee to work on the definition, the Judiciary Policy Committee to work on the definitions and the issue about health conditions. A number of issues were raised in the Civil Law Committee that were intended to be worked out in the Judiciary Committee, and that was the understanding when I left there. It has not been to the Judiciary Committee, but that was the understanding.
Representative Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I see we're working in Section of Statute 604. I'm not familiar as that section of statute typically being associated with ag issues, and so I'm just curious if by having this section in the bill, if this is opening the bill up to a lot of unintended consequences dealing with civil liability issues, because to my understanding that makes the bill germane, and I do think that this is a very important bill and it shouldn't be muddied with the potential to get bogged down with civil liability issues, and I have that concern.
Any further questions or comments? Mr. Carlson?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if Representative Falk was asking specifically what 604 is, but 604 is the section of law relating to comparative fault. There isn't a single immunity provision in 604. It's actually how we impose fault on people who have liability in civil cases.
Question from Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the motion, Representative Hamilton, is to send this to Ways and Means from here, not to Judiciary. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Hansen, that is correct, yes.
Seeing no further questions. Oh, Representative Hansen, sorry.
I thought Representative Morrow had a question, but I will ask for a roll call on the motion.
I didn't hear what you said, Representative.
I will ask for a roll call on the bill.
Okay. Roll call has been asked for. And the clerk will take...
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I just make sure that there was no more public testimony. I'm sorry. I thought it was clear. I was just making sure that no one else from the public was coming up first.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Any more public testimony from members of the audience before we take a vote on the bill? Representative Hamilton.
Mr. Chairman, I'd just like to make a couple notes here. One, that just get it on record that staff may make any technical changes necessary to reflect the will of the committee. Put that in there as well. And, Mr. Chairman, I would renew my motion to send House File 1039 as amended, be recommended to pass, and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And a roll call has been requested, Mr. Chair.
And I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm sorry, Representative Hamilton. I'm being unclear. I did have something to say. I just want to make sure the public was done first. Mr. Chair and members, you know, Representative Hamilton, I know your bill struggles with a situation that we're all struggling with, and I appreciate that. And the fact that I'm going to vote no on this bill is not a reflection upon your work or your efforts to do to do what you can in this situation. Mr. Chair and members, there are a couple of concerns I just want to point out. Number one, I'm very concerned about the milk grant program and believe that we need to try to do more in that area. I'm thankful for the committee's help on AURI and the Center for Rural Policy and Development. This last discussion, though, members, I have a deep concern on line 16.28, and I've been trying to do the legal research. I've talked to the reviser. I've talked to Representative Erdahl. We've heard some of the concerns about this, what I consider to be policy language in the finance bill. My concern is that the word reckless does not appear on line 16.28. I did communicate with Representative Erdahl because I am trying to stay on top of this, Representative Hamilton and others. I believe that it should be knowing and willful or reckless behavior. But I know in talking with Mr. Marinac up in the reviser's office, there's a legal research problem here. In part because we use multiple terms. We use wanton disregard for safety. We use willful and wanton. So it's a research problem that we're all trying in this very busy week to get our heads around. But as I look at Chapter 604, fault includes acts or omissions that are in any measure negligent or reckless toward the person or property of another. Mr. Chair, members, when we do render illegal reckless driving. Why? Because it presents a grave risk to the public if someone drives recklessly. We do prohibit reckless discharge of a firearm for the same reason. The research problem has been that those appear in the criminal code, not in the civil code. So, Mr. Chair, members, what I fear will happen in reality is when food is adulterated, food is unsafe. It's not because somebody knowingly put out unsafe food. It's that they're rolling the dice with the public's safety, with the public's health. I don't think our farmers are doing it. I'm with the farmers who believe that they shouldn't be held liable for when someone gains weight. And I'll tell you, I gained weight. I'm not suing a farmer. It's not their fault. I chose what I ate. I get that. I agree with Representative Erdahl on that. But I don't think it's a good public policy to be telling manufacturers, to be telling advertisers, to be telling promoters, you can roll the dice. You might know not know your statement's false, but you don't know it's true either, but you can go ahead and make the claim. And I'm not meaning to castigate you. I feel strongly about this, and therefore I do hope that this language is changed moving forward because I think it sets a dangerous public policy that no one intends in this committee to do.
Any further comments before the clerk takes the roll? Representative Fong.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to echo Representative Morrow's comments, and I don't know if this would be in order, but I do think that this effective date is very problematic, and if there's a means to go and either remove that or put in a date that's further out so we have the ability to work on this, because I'm not an attorney. I don't know how many attorneys are on this committee, but it seems like we're dealing with very complex legal issues, and I feel very strongly that the committees that do have people much more well-versed in those topics should be reviewing this, because this is a very complicated issue. And I know that Representative Erdahl feels strongly about this. I know he appreciates the publicity of the cheeseburger bill, but I don't think that this is the appropriate place for it, and I do have serious concerns. And so, Mr. Chair, and to the committee, I would ask that we take this issue very seriously. It is much more than just what it appears to be on the face, and I do think that putting this in the agriculture bill is sending the wrong signal. I don't think it makes us look serious. I think this is a very important issue that we're dealing with. We have a very good Department of Agriculture. I think they're nationally renowned. I think that people look up to them. And by doing this, I think it insults the work that has been done so far by putting basically a gimmick in this bill. And that's my opinion.
The clerk will take the roll.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Anderson Paul?
Yes.
Eakin?
Yes.
Anderson Bruce? Falk?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Posh?
No.
Kath?
No.
Keel?
Yes.
Lemaire?
Yes.
McElfetrick?
Yes.
Morrow?
No.
Purcell?
No.
Popey?
No.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Szymanski?
Yes.
Swedzinski?
Yes.
Torkelson?
Yes.
Vogel?
Yes.
Anderson Bruce?
Yes.
The vote was 12-7 in favor of passage. Of the 12 ayes and 7 nays, the bill passes. The House File 1049 is passed as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
A couple other housekeeping items here. We call on Representative Szymanski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today I asked the committee to pass out a House resolution recognizing March 24th as National Teach Ag Day. Unfortunately, we probably will not be meeting as an Ag Committee tomorrow, so I wanted to bring this to your attention. We will also pass this resolution out on the House floor, either in today's session or tomorrow's session. But we want to recognize the ag teachers, the great job that they do in bringing agriculture not only to the farming communities but to school children everywhere. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Representative Szymanski. And, yeah, this final reminder that the Minnesota Corn Growers Association is having a reception tonight, hours 5 to 8 p.m. at the Crown Plaza Riverfront Hotel here in downtown St. Paul. A reception for legislators, again, Minnesota corn growers tonight, 5 to 8 p.m., Crown Plaza here in St. Paul. And members, no meeting tomorrow because we got the bill passed today. So with that, the Ag Committee is adjourned.